Well, the tears flowed and parents at school pickup honked their horns in celebration as the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews delivered his daily press conference yesterday afternoon, announcing the state had recorded zero cases for the first time since June and, most importantly, that businesses could begin the journey back to normal trading from midnight tonight. But Dan Andrews warned life won't be the same for a while yet.
This belongs to every single Victorian. Every single Victorian who's followed the rules, stayed the course, worked with me and my team to bring this second wave to an end. But it is not over. This virus is not going away. It is going to continue to be a feature of our lives every day until a vaccine turns up.
An emotional Victorian Premier Dan Andrews speaking in Melbourne yesterday afternoon. And as he indicated, Victorians must continue to respect the COVID rules to prevent further lockdowns. Professor Ewan Wallace is the Deputy Secretary for Case Contact and Outbreak Management for the Victorian Department of Health and Human Services, which basically means he's the chief contact tracer. Ewan Wallace, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Emotions were running pretty high at that press conference yesterday with the Premier. How did you feel when you learned not only all of those test results from the Northern Suburbs cluster returned negative, but there were zero new cases across the entire state?
Well, it was a terrific day yesterday, wasn't it? And, you know, as the Premier expressed, this really a reflection of the enormous and relentless effort that Victorians have played over the last several months, particularly those of us living in Metro Melbourne. And to see the massive turnout of citizens in the northern suburbs over the weekend to have testing and those tests to come back negative was fabulous, just fabulous.
But as the Premier, we heard there, you know, had to temper his enthusiasm with the, you know, emphasising that there's still risk, this virus isn't going anywhere, really putting it on Victorians to keep doing the right thing. At this point, because everyone's pretty excited about being able to, you know, from tomorrow, go to the shop, go to a cafe, go to a pub, whatever it is. At this point, what does that mean to, you know, to keep living with it, doing the right things? What do you need from Victorians? What are their obligations now?
Well, we need the core things that we've been doing since this virus hit our shores, which is distancing, hand hygiene, keep these little bottles of alcohol cleanser in our cars and in our pockets, and wearing masks. Victorians have been wearing masks now for months, and we should continue.
Is it still mandatory?
Yes, because that is how we reduce the transmission of this virus.
The Premier also said yesterday a number of times the biggest risk is still inside people's homes, and I think there was a perfect demonstration about that of that with the northern suburbs outbreak. But people are still waiting on some critical details they'll get today, apparently, about moving between households. Can you help us here? Can families, you know, with everything else opening up, can families now start visiting each other? Can kids see their grandparents? Can friends visit other friends for dinner? Are we there yet?
We're partially there. So there are limitations. So I think it's one family to a household each day only. So it's not quite where we would like it to be, but we'll get there. So you're right that the lessons from the recent outbreak in the northern suburbs, but not just that outbreak, several other outbreaks over the last month or so, has been that intra-household and inter-household transmission has been one of the key methods of this virus spreading. So we need to just hold off on the massive family gatherings that we all want to have just a bit longer. And also, when we do meet, be very careful. So, you know, we have examples of very human things, you know, passing newborn babies around, infants, where the infants have the virus and then spread the virus across multiple households. These are normal human things that we want to do, want to hug each other, hug our family members. We just have to be really careful and hold off for the moment.
Okay, but I'm just trying to get a sense of what holding off means, because it's probably the most basic and cherished freedom, really, the freedom to get together with your closest people, with your closest loved ones, families together. I mean, massive family gathering is one thing, but what about a non-massive family gathering? What about, you know, grandparents again, say, seeing their grandkids, if they've got grandkids from two, three families? Can that happen or not?
They can't.
Is this a numbers game or something different?
No, well, it's numbers of household game, Fran. So it's about having multiple households come together is not possible yet. So, of course, grandparents can see grandchildren, but not from multiple families, not multiple households. So not multiple sets of grandchildren at the same time. It's one family per household per day at the moment. And as the Premier announced yesterday, very clear road ahead. So this is what's coming if we can keep these numbers low, preferably to zero. But, you know, we're going to have more cases. But if we can keep them low, then we'll be able to get back to what I guess we've all come to call COVID normal, but more normal than we are.
But Christmas dinner?
Well, let's see what happens with the numbers. Of course, of course we want to have Christmas dinner with families. Of course we do. But let's see what happens to the numbers. And if we all abide by the rules, then we'll beat this thing and we will be having what will feel like much more normal Christmas.
Okay. In terms of the numbers, zero cases yesterday for the first time since June, which was a fantastic achievement. And congratulations to everybody, your team and all Melburnians. But as we've seen in New South Wales, there will be days when this number blows out 7 or 10 or even 12. What happens then? Is there a clear threshold for returning to lockdown? Will there never be a full lockdown? I mean, that'd be quite catastrophic, surely. Can you guarantee people that that is very unlikely to have to happen? There'll be other measures to contain.
Well, Fran, there's no guarantees in anything, is that this virus has taught us that. But there is no intent for Melbourne or Victoria to go into the lockdowns that we've been in again. And our processes that are in place and all the planning is to be able to respond quickly and effectively and shut the outbreaks down as they occur. You're right. We will have more cases and it is possible that we'll have more outbreaks, but if they happen, then our systems are such that we will try and shut them down as fast as possible so they don't spread, and there's no need to contemplate any further actions.
People still voice concerns publicly, politicians and others, about Victoria's contact tracing system, even after this effort. Last week, the New South Wales Premier said that before she'll consider opening the border to Victoria, Victoria had to demonstrate they're not going to have uncontrolled outbreaks while they're easing restrictions. Can you give that guarantee, and have you already given it to New South Wales health officials?
So we're obviously talking with our interstate colleagues all the time. There's been a national review just winding up of contact tracing processes across all states and territories led by the Commonwealth. Look, I think the greatest confidence that both our own citizens can have, but the rest of the country, is just to look at the response to the Northern outbreak this past week, just how effectively that has been managed, how little it has spread outside the key households. That is the measure of how effective we are.
Yeah, okay, spread is what it's all about. Opening up will be a testing time, a nervous time for you and your team, I imagine. People will be surging, you'd think, after 111 days in lockdown, into the stores, into the restaurants. This will challenge businesses' COVID-safe practices. Victoria, the DHHS, has asked some businesses to help with contact tracing if there's an infection by contacting staff or customers and asking them to self-isolate. Why are you asking business to do that? What are you exactly asking them to do? And are you confident they're up to that task? Because it's a key one.
So it's been in place for a wee while now, Fran. There's been a requirement.
But there hasn't been people going out and about, really. So.
No, sure. But many of our industries have still been working. And there's been a requirement on employers to have a list of their employees so that if one of them turns positive, they can very quickly identify for us who the close contacts are. Who are the colleagues that they were working with that they've been in contact with during the course of their shift, for example? And then they provide that to us immediately. So that's really about us working with employers, working with businesses to get the information to fast trigger the contact tracing. So rather than us phoning the individual who's turned positive and walking through for an hour and a half, who are all the people, and depending on them, we will still do that. But in addition to that, the business or the employer will say, well, actually, here's the list of all the mates that the guy or the woman worked with on his or her shift. And so we can then use, but that is to supplement the interview, to get to those close contacts as quickly as possible and to make sure they are quarantining. Because that's the way we stop this virus transmitting.
Okay. And what about more broadly? Yesterday, we learned through Senate estimates that the federal government's COVID Safe app has uncovered just 17 contacts not already found by contact tracing teams. Are you using that at all? Has it been a help?
So we are using it. And one of our standard questions in our interview is, do you have the COVID Safe app? Have you got it switched on? And then we can use that to help contact trace. Look, to be honest, Fran, it hasn't been all that useful. I think, you know, as the report from Senate Estimates covered yesterday, it certainly hasn't been a major contributor to our efforts. We will continue to ask the question. We will continue to use the information. Fran, to be honest, we will use any information available to us to shut this thing down.
Would you prefer a different tracing app, one that has been more effective? Is that essential?
Oh, look, I mean, I think, again, the effectiveness of our ability to shut down the northern suburbs outbreaks and previous outbreaks hasn't depended on the app. I think, like anything, like our own systems, if there are opportunities to improve the function of the app, then we should, as a nation, we should take those opportunities. Why wouldn't we? Anything that helps to shut this virus down is worth embracing. And if there are opportunities to improve all the bits and pieces of the measures that we take, then we should embrace those opportunities.
Are you aware of the effectiveness of the Apple Act? Is that useful?
Well, of course, we haven't been using that in Australia, so difficult for me to comment.
Okay. Ewan Wallace, thank you very much for joining us again, and good luck with the task ahead.
Fran, thank you very much.
Professor Ewan Wallace is the Deputy Secretary for Case Contact and Outbreak Management for the Victorian Department of Health and Human Services. He's also CEO of Safer Care Victoria.